Siete in compagnia di SBS Italian. Trovate altre storie su sbs.com.au/italian o scaricate la SBS Radio app.
Pellegrinis, A Melbourne Legacy è il titolo di un documentario girato da Frank Lotito con Rob Gabriel, dedicato ad uno dei locali più iconici di tutta Australia, Pellegrinis, che venne aperto nel 1954 a Melbourne e che l'anno scorso ha compiuto 70 anni di attività.
Pellegrinis or the espresso bar belongs to the community.
I was in Pellegrinis at least once a week.
Strong coffee, loud conversations and lasagna that could fix a broken heart.
We're talking about a period of time where people landed, immigrants landed, and you couldn't get olive oil.
Well, I think that's what people love about Pellegrinis, is the food is very, very good, it's palatable.
Il documentario sta finalmente per uscire nelle sale australiane e noi abbiamo parlato appunto con Frank Lotito e Rob Gabriel in questa intervista in inglese. Io sono Magica Fossati e questo è un podcast di SBS Italian. Today, we have two guests in our studio, Frank Lotito and Rob Gabriel, who are going to be talking to us about the documentary film Pellegrinis. Benvenuti a Radio SBS.
Ciao, Magica.
Grazie.
Welcome both. We talked about this film a year ago exactly, and you were starting to film, but you were not quite sure how to go about finishing it.
About a year ago, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes.
What a journey.
Can you tell us a little bit about what made it really hard, but also how you managed to finish it in 1 year, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering the situation you were in last year.
We had no money.
Yeah, exactly.
no future. Look, making indie films in general is always hard, especially, you know, in Australia. But, you know, Rob was adamant about making this film and we'll find a way. And we found some sponsorship through Victoria Coffee, who's been a long supplier of Pellegrini since 1958.
Correct.
I think, yeah.
A long time.
And a couple of other people that kind of helped us out. But really, we did it off our own bat. We spent
Fantastic.
Many, many hours for no money because we're very passionate about telling that story. You know, Rob did a lot of the research himself, first-time producer, mind you, and he did a wonderful job.
Excellent.
So I don't know if he wants to produce again after this experience. But.
Well, who knows what's next, but yeah, for sure. Look, it's been a pleasure and it has been a great journey, but more importantly, didn't know how we're going to get there, but we're here. And like I said, one door led to another door. And the response has been awesome. So we are very fortunate, I must say.
Okay, let's pretend that there's still someone who's listening to this interview who doesn't know anything about Pellegrinis. Who can introduce this iconic place?
Well, if you don't know, Pellegrinis opened its doors in 1954 and one of the first Italian-style espresso bars in Melbourne, in the CBD. And there were a few other places around at the time, but really this was kind of that traditional, that what was happening in you know, places like Rome and Milan at the time. And it really introduced Melbournians to espresso coffee and real pasta and pizza as well and gelato back in the day. So it's been around a long time. And one of the pioneers, we would say, of what our culture represents in Australia. And it was opened by
Leo and Vilda Pellegrini.
That's right.
Of course.
In
brothers.
54.
Yeah, yes.
Brothers, yeah. Who used to work at Florentino's back then. So it was only a few doors down.
So we're talking about Melbourne institutions,
basically. And Guy Grossi, who is a big feature in our film, because we interviewed him and he was amazing and it was full of insight because his father had worked at Pellegrini's as well. And so then he took it over, you know, 30 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And then in 1974, two fellows, Nino Pangrazio and Sisto Malaspina, purchased Pellegrinis from the two brothers. And then the rest is history because they've owned it ever since. And, of course, we cover the story of that institution and what it means to us as Melbournians, what it means to the not just Italians, but, you know, everyone who immigrated here.
Exactly. Because it's really a cafe that has become part of Melbourne life for anyone from any background.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of famous people also who go regularly to Pellegrini's. So it would have been hard for you to choose who to interview as well.
Yeah.
How did you go about it? Because I saw you also had a call on your Instagram page or Pellegrini's Instagram page asking for photos.
We did. Yes, yes. That, look, it's, you cannot put everyone in the documentary, but, you know, we did
impossible.
Our, yeah, but we, I think we did our very best to tell that story for everybody. And having like a tribute, for example, with people who got married there and special photos and their special memories, and there's quite a few of them, of course, many that we don't even know about, but the ones that we do have touched us dearly. And so, yeah, look, there's Frank and I were always trying to work out who should be in this film, how do we get to them, who else could we get to? But I think the narrative is just is that. It's about us. It's about where we are today and how we got here, and also who came before us, and pay homage to them as well. So very, very fortunate to be telling this story. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tribute, really. And, of course, for those who don't know, there's also a tragedy that's part of that story, and that was Sister Malaspina, who was tragically killed.
Yeah, I was going to get to that because it would have been hard to find a way of covering that part of the story as well. How did you go about it? Did you touch on it?
We do in a very sensitive way, and I think that one of the things when we first started was getting David Malaspina's blessing when we started this, because we wanted to do
Sister's son.
I wanted to do it justice, and we didn't want to make it a huge part of the show, of the movie, but at the same time we wanted to touch on it because it was very important to know, you know, what type of person Sister was and what he meant to the people of Melbourne, because, you know, they gave him a state funeral. I don't know of any other cafe owner.
Very well attended, by the way.
It was.
It was packed.
Yeah.
And people were extremely touched by what happened.
Yeah.
It was tragic.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess it was also because of the way he had touched so many lives over the years at Pellegrini's.
Yeah.
What's your memory of Sisto?
Well, look, I'd been going there ever since I started driving, because I really loved the theatre, and, you know, and we went to the metro when we'd go out, which was up the road, and I discovered Pellegrini's as a young adult, and, you know, after the theatre or before the theatre, we would go there, and we got to know Sisto and Rocco, and Sisto had this way of just, you know, he's almost like a chameleon. He would adapt to everyone's personality, and, you know, and he knew if you were into football, he would talk about football.
Yeah.
If you were into music, he would talk about music. And he was that kind of person. I learned a lot, because even back then I was working in a restaurant with my family, and I took on that bravado, that kind of, you know, that personality that that Sister was all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would do things like remember people's names and people's stories. And when you'd come back and say, oh, Frank, how was that, you know, that time when you did this and that, you know, he would remember things, and that
which
was
is
the
a
most
big part of the charm
it
of
is,
Pellegrini's.
Is that,
of course.
It's that hospitality that I feel we don't get a lot of these days, and we grew up with. So he was a very special person
to
many.
Well, just touching on what just Frank just said, I just for Sisto, he was a man that, you know, it's hard to put into words, but he would see you coming down the street or the lane, and he would get your coffee ready and welcome you before you even got to this, into the cafe. That was Sisto, and this is really for him too, right? This is, But look, in terms of my first time producing with Frank, I'm very, very, not lucky. I think lucky is not the word. There's something else that's happened here with this movie and all the things that have happened as a result and the people we've connected and how we got to where we are today. And I thank Frank. I cannot thank him, thank him enough for what he's done for the film and how we got here. It's been a lot of hard work, but look, it's the first time I've produced a film. It was a calling. I said to Frank, you know, I still remember like yesterday, Frank, I want to make this film, and, you know, I want to make this
film. He bugged me for months and months and months, and I'm 30 years into my career, and it's really hard to do things for no money, you know, because of time, and of course, you know, you've got
a lot
the family
on at the moment,
and, yeah,
as
a lot
well.
on, and I know what it takes to do something like this. I'm a feature film maker.
Yeah.
This is my first documentary, a feature film documentary. So it, I know what it is, and it's a big undertaking. And a lot of the work is, yes, we do shoot interviews and overlay and stuff, but a lot of the work is constructing a story in the edit suite. And I, for the first time in my career, well, not the first time, but on a major project, I did the editing myself.
Yeah.
It was very, very difficult. And I'm not a tech savvy person, so it was very, very hard.
You are now.
Some frustrating. I would call Rob, isn't this saving? Why isn't this here? And I would call him, and he's very tech savvy, so he would help me with that thing. So unlike feature films, narrative feature films, where you have control of the narrative and you have a script and you can kind of tweak things, you're really at the beck and call of the people that you interview. And, you know, we interviewed family members and you know, people like Guy Grossi and Tony Nicolini and people that have made a difference in that industry. And so you're really relying on their way of storytelling and then putting those pieces together to create some kind of an arc within that story, and then we get to the part of you know Sistel's, and so it's like how do we put all that together?
Yeah,
and that was the hardest part, I think, and really I warned Rob, but I said, Rob, it's not that easy. It's going to be hard. And he understands, I think.
but Magica, would I do it again? Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
Pellegrini's was born in 1954, thanks to two Italian brothers, Leo and Vildo Pellegrini.
Very, very busy, and consequently they aroused a certain amount of curiosity.
They introduced visitors to real spaghetti rather than spaghetti out of a tin.
We're looking forward to seeing the documentary film Pellegrini's A Melbourne Legacy, which is going to be in cinemas on December the 4th. And we're talking to Frank Lotito and Rob Gabriel about Pellegrini's and about what it meant also for Melbourne. Last year, you had a fantastic celebration at the Williamstown Italian Social Club.
We did.
It was crazy because there were so many people to celebrate, especially Rocco Edice, who just retired, who was a long time waiter at Pellegrini's. And there were so many customers, so many people who loved the place. Did you interview some of the customers? Because there were some amazing characters.
Yes, we interviewed a few, and they're in the film. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I was just going to say, we've got a big premiere with the film too, so this is something that is huge for us too. I mean, it's going to be at the Astor Theatre on the 2nd of December.
Another iconic place in Melbourne.
That's right, one of the oldest theatres in Melbourne. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, and I just, if anybody is thinking of coming to see something special on a special night, that could be it, the 2nd of December at the Astor Theatre, and just go to Palace Cinema's website and you'll see the events and... That's a very special day.
And we're very grateful. I just want to say too, I mean, you know, yes, we do these things to entertain. We do these things to, you know, send a message or whatever. And I think one of the beautiful things about telling this story is, and it doesn't matter where you come from, you know, you don't have to be Italian to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it is a story about our forefathers, our foremothers, and our culture, and the people that came out here many years ago with a suitcase and what I like to say, quattro lire in their pocket, which was a lot of money back then.
That's right.
But you know, with a dream and a hope and a desire to have something different or a new life, and it is a tribute to them. And people, institutions like Palace Cinemas, for example, really get behind what we do, and they come from an Italian family, the Zecola family, who've run that place. And as you know, they do the Italian Film Festival and the French Film Festival and German Film and the Bridge, and so they get behind these cultures and really. And so, you know, without them, we wouldn't have a platform to show our beautiful film on the big screen where it needs to be seen. So, you know, we're thankful for.
We're
people
very lucky,
like that,
very fortunate. Yeah.
This interview is going to be heard, of course, around Australia. Will there be any chance for people in other states to see this
film?
It's
national.
Yeah, it is national. So there's a national release happening on the 4th of December. It's going to Sydney and Adelaide and Perth.
And Brisbane,
for those guys. And there's some regional theatres as well. The demand is huge. And, how do we get here?
We actually show, and it's Nova Cinemas in Carlton.
Oh, yeah,
is
for sure.
And Thornbury Picture House. And I don't know if you know about Thornbury, but They're opening up a new cinema in Brunswick.
That's what I heard recently. Yeah, that's
so
amazing.
Which is interesting because my career started, and I always say this, my career started at a very young age. My earliest memory is my parents taking me to the movies, and I might have been maybe 4 or 5 years old, and there was a couple of cinemas on Sydney Road in Brunswick that don't exist anymore.
Screening Italian movies?
They were screening Italian movies, Metropolitan, the Aurora, I think it was called. I mean, they've all been pulled down. Mm. And I remember watching these films. Later on, I learned that not all of them were Italian films. Some were Hollywood films dubbed in Italian. Up until the age of 16, I thought The Ten Commandments was an Italian film. I had no idea it was
Frank.
A Hollywood film.
I Dieci Comandamenti.
And so it's wonderful that, you know, someone like Gus from Thornbury Picture House can go back to Sydney Road in Brunswick and open up one of those.
Yeah. Small theatres. That's an amazing movement that's happening at the moment.
It is.
But I was also thinking we are seeing more and more documentaries dealing with the history of our communities.
Yes.
Recently I saw Signorinella,
which you probably know as well.
Do you think there's a big appetite for that type of social history of Australia?
I think there is, and I feel it firsthand because, for an example, we're doing a live show at the moment called The Italian Divorce. We've sold out 8 shows at the Williamstown Italian Social Club.
A lot of work,
Club.
Frank. We did it.
We did
it. I don't know how you do it. You've been doing so much over the last year.
Yeah. It's interesting because one of the things that I want, you know, I can be honest with you now, many years ago I shunned my back on my culture because I was doing things that I felt at the time, are we sending the right message? We're making fun of our culture. What are we doing? You know, and so I kind of went to Hollywood and, you know, to America, and I started making films there. But as I got older, I started to appreciate what our culture really means and what our, you know, our parents and grandparents went through coming to a foreign country and starting a new life. Doing this show, I wanted to really have, you know, not just the nostalgia, but also reflecting on what our culture is about and what our parents went through and all that. And it really resonates with audiences. And I think that's what's important about telling these stories.
Yeah. I should also stress you've already shown this film in 2 smaller events recently.
Not completely shown not all completely. Of it. We showed some of it.
But what was the finished. Reaction you got finished. From
oh
the
my
audience?
God, the reaction... Wow. How do you explain that in words, Frank? I mean...
It was surprising.
Wow.
It was surprising for me because although, you know, when you look at something just like an artist that paints, you know, and I feel like I'm a creative that wants to express himself and you put something out there and you just don't know. You kind of go, oh, maybe it'll work, maybe it'll... will they like it? Will they not? But the reaction was really bizarre that people, you know, they were... crying at the end of it.
We had
them. They were in tears, and I'm like, what's happening here?
So Magic, I'm not sure if Frank was awake or was sleeping or whatever, where he was in that moment. I think he was there, but I think he went somewhere else. We had these screenings, right? And we had the families there from the Pellegrinis. We had, you know, David and Vicky and everyone there, the family. When the movie finished, Frank and I got on stage to say a couple of words. Before we could say anything, we had 400 people standing up and clapping and crying. So
they gave us a standing ovation, I've never had in my career before.
So it was an amazing afternoon, one I'll never forget ever. I look back and I saw Frank's and he had tears in his eyes, I had tears in my eyes, and we're just looking at each other saying...
It was
saying,
a very emotional day.
Yeah, where are we here? Is this real? And here we are. So.
And I understood then, and one of the things, and which I applaud people like Angelo who made Signorinella, because we don't tell enough of those stories. And Pellegrini's is one of them.
Yeah.
We just don't see, you know, on TV or in the theatre, we don't see enough of those stories, which is about us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
I look forward to seeing the film on the 4th of December in various theatres and cinemas, as you were saying before. Of course, you were talking about the family of Sisto Malaspina.
Yes.
What was David's reaction when he saw the film?
Wow.
I guess you were waiting for that in particular.
That was my biggest, I would look at, you know, while he was watching, I would look at his face and see, you know, what his reaction would be. And that was my biggest fear, that we'd come out of this and he didn't like it. But Thank God, he loves it.
Yeah,
he
they loves it.
He thinks it's great, and he's getting behind it 150%.
It's a tribute to the family. It's a tribute for what they've done. It's a tribute to what Sisto did with Nina and everyone who came through those doors, and still continues to go through those doors. It is really an iconic place, I think, for Australia, not just Melbourne. I think
they've had one coat of paint in that place
really
since 1954. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to change.
No.
Unless they give it another coat of paint, but I doubt it.
You might be painting, Frank, you and I.
Yeah. Very authentic. Pellegrini's A Melbourne Legacy is in the cinemas from December the 4th. Frank Lotito and Rob Gabriel,
grazie
thank
tanto.
You so much for coming.
Oh, thanks for having us
in bocca al lupo, grazie. As we say in grazie. Italian, and we look forward to
what
seeing
a
the
pleasure.
Movie.
Grazie, ciao.
Ciao.
Noi abbiamo due ruoli da ambasciatori. Ambasciatori per l'Italia e ambasciatori per l'Australia.
Volete ascoltare altre storie come questa? Potete trovarle su Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify o ovunque scarichiate i vostri podcast.